They're not singing just to be heard. It's part of the worship service. Amen. 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 Where do we start? I have been trying to get the mind of the Lord on where to go next. For me, I'm very thankful. I don't say this to shoot at anybody. Maybe not the best word, can become jealous sometimes of what you have. Somebody just week after week pouring into you. And so I enjoy the times when Brother O'Malley, I feel like I'll always be missions minded. I think the missions conference is more just to kind of get those that aren't mission orientated on board. I believe we're a fairly, for our size, we're a very mission-minded church. I think we run well in that area. And I always get burdened for it, but God got my burden, shook my chain many years ago. But the family conference is very enriching for me, very helpful for me. The family week, because I'm just thinking of things that, you know, I want to improve every year. And they're, no matter how old you get, I don't know if the older folks would agree with me on this one. I'm speaking for myself. No matter how old you get, there's still the pull. I have Mike often calling me back. And the further you get, it's probably easier to say no, but it doesn't stop from someone, the past, calling you back. It's easy to quit. It's just easy to quit. It's easy to do nothing about it. Had a very good time of Timothy training. Libby's watched me with my face in my phone for the last 2 days. Oh, I don't want to say arguing, but debating, trying to be a voice, contrarian to the normal voice. I'm disappointed in pastors nowadays. The problem's not the White House. It won't be solved at the White House. It'll be solved at the church house, and the biggest problem is the pulpits. And so I'm always trying to steer the church, but had a very good time of Timothy training in there, trying to get these guys and myself. When Brother O'Malley comes, I offer myself up. I'm not above learning. I always feel like I can get better. I want to be better. There's 27 years I got to get out of me. And then he talked about finances and family, and there was 1,000 things going through my mind. I'd love to jump right into Colossians. I have probably read Colossians over the course of the last week and a half, 2 weeks now. Just a fair guess would be 60 times. It's only 4 chapters. I really just wanted to absorb it as much as I could to get the mindset of where to go next. And there was something that stood out to me. I don't want to start the Colossians series tonight, but I want to be in Colossians. And I want to do something tonight as a single message. As I was studying this week, there were several verses that stuck out to me. We'll read a chapter, and then I'll try and share my heart. I don't want to be business as usual. I don't. I already feel it. I mean, there's an excitement when Brother O'Malley comes. He said things I've said 1,000 times. I didn't call them Sherpas. But I've said how many times these young ladies that come down here, whether they come out of copycatting or not, it doesn't hurt for the older. And let me say this, Sherpas aren't just gray head. Alicia's a Sherpa. I watched Alicia and Michaela. Is it 3 hours and a half, probably? Sherpa in. in the nursery Saturday? That's chirping. Chirperin. It has to stay constant. The next, in Nehemiah, they stood hand to hand, sword in one hand, trowel in the other. Ezekiel said, I sought from among them a man who would stand in the gap. I'm still looking. Our churches are lacking in men. Not DNA, but dedication, stepping up. And so I don't know which direction I want to go, but I want to help. I don't want business as usual. There's families that need help. I've talked to several people this week. I won't say who. And if we'd be honest, all of us need a little help. I need a little help. And I don't want it to go back to business as usual. I want to focus on that. I don't want a show of hands, but there's a lot of people. I don't need to know. I just know from pastoring. There's a lot of people here could have a revamping of their finances. And we are notorious about pretending everything's okay. And there's some things that could be taught, so I'm struggling with how to do that. Do I take a Sunday school class block of 12 weeks or something? And then there's family things. I used to be able to at least get some of that done in Sunday school class, but I don't have a Sunday school class now. And so I want to help. And so the first part of that is, I mean, if you want to contact me and say, I'd really like you to do something for 12 weeks on finances. And it's everywhere. I was in this conversation. You think we had a mortgage? I was in a conversation just this afternoon. Pastor had been there 25 years, and 3 years before he left, I don't know what the total mortgage was, but they've got a mortgage for $11,000 a month, running 200 people. Yeah, Mark. And they were worried about the music going in the wrong direction. And I said, if I read this right, $11,000 a month mortgage payment? There's a whole lot more wrong than the music. And then he took another church. And I thought, that man led them to that decision and then leaves before that. Boy, wouldn't you like to do that? Get $11,000 a month car payment and vote on it and then leave? I'll tell you what, God gets blamed for a lot of things. And so if a pastor makes that kind of decision, I can't imagine how many in a church make that kind of decision. So I'm struggling with, do I do a section on finances? And let me say this, there might come a time when I'm gone and the church needs to do some kind of a loan. I try my best not to do them. I really do. I have a loan on my house. But I mean, I don't want that. And I'm trying my best to get that thing taken care of. But I'm not upside down in it. I've got a ton of equity in it. And we're living in a day and age where it's just become the norm. And then there's family structure in here. I saw things that took place during the family conference that have troubled me. And it's like we hear it and we don't heed it. I'll just be honest with you. I was honest with somebody else this week. I pulled out my phone and read my text. I have two of them in here tonight. When I left the family conference, you know what Pastor Lovett did? Pulled over on the side of the road twice and cried like a baby. You know why Pastor Lovett pulled over on the side of the road and cried like a baby? Because I failed. But I'm not going to quit. I texted them all and I said, I know I made mistakes. I wish I could go back. And, you know, I got one that constantly reminds me, where was this guy? Where was this guy when I was coming up? That guy didn't exist. He exists now. Through many toils and troubles I've come. Would I love to go back? Man, I'd love to go back. I can't. I can just go from here, but I can try my best from here and hopefully make it. And they received the text message. I wrote them all a letter. I think too many of us in here hear it and then we don't do nothing about it. There's people that heard things this week already and haven't done nothing about it. You say it's too far. When is it too far? Rahab was considered a harlot even after she was walking with God. It wasn't who she was. Or was it wasn't who she is. It was who she was. But it was, you know, it was the proverbial take up your bed and walk. It was her testimony. And some of y'all hear this stuff every year and then you don't want to do nothing with it. We got somebody this week posting and saying, I just want to give a big shout out to all the people that were there in my life. You think any of them was the church? While their home is falling apart. I mean, that's this kind of stuff. So I don't want business as usual. So I was studying. I'll read this. I have a very small message. I'll read this and then I'll get my point across and then we'll decide whether it's going to be finances for a few weeks and help everybody or whether it's going to be Sherpas. We don't have enough Sherpas in here. There was moments, and I said to a couple people, there's a couple moments I had to fight from getting in the flesh. We come to events and we sit down and eat and we think nothing of who's supposed to clean that stuff up. And it's our church. It's all of our church. What's Papa do after a meal with 19 people at the house? He takes his station at the kitchen sink and rinses all the plates. Libby takes her place at the dishwasher and she puts them all in the dishwasher. And the other ones vacuum and clean up. It's a team effort. We got people that'll be the first in line and first out the door. That's Sherpin. And then we got people that got kids running ragged while other people got to get home. That's family conference stuff. That's trivial stuff. You know, we didn't have a hospitality team when I was coming up in church. All the ladies put the food on the table, and all the men made sure the tables were set up, and we all left out at about the same time and made sure it was all cleaned up. I never heard of this hospitality team. And this team and that team, and we fill our face and then we walk out without ever saying goodbye or thank you or nothing. You'll never find me go to a church with people in the kitchen cooking, and I don't walk by there, and I'm not even a member of the church, and walk into that kitchen and say, thank you, ladies, for cooking. Talk to the pastor or any man, I say, thank you for setting up these tables. I know what it takes to do that. We've become a consumer society. There's women sitting at that. We kill ourselves to go out on visitation, and then God brought all those people into our church. And some just sat at their table and never talked to nobody. And you expect the pastor to go over and be Mr. Personality to them. And all the young people are sitting here going, so where do we start? You say, man, is it really that bad? It's not that bad. But if somebody don't say something, it goes right back to what it was. Amen? Let me read some scripture. Colossians. Look at that graphic. I tell you what, this book is, every one of them when I study them tears me up. The things that Paul says in this book, his heart, his sternness, his sympathy, his compassion, his conviction, his doctrine. This book is absolutely full of truth. Now, if you got upset by some of the stuff I said, you're the one I'm saying it to. I'm not upset. Last one out of here the other night. Taking care of 11 grandkids, got a mother in my house. If I can stay, somebody else can stay. Because if we don't, guess what happens? Laodicea. The epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians. I didn't come on Wednesday night to get chided. I'm not chiding anybody. I'm stating the obvious. It doesn't happen on its own. It happens because of a collective effort, a constant. Paul said, I die daily. He died to the flesh. Do I have desires? Do I have aspirations? Sure I do. Michael does. Mike does. Michael, the spiritual man, my aspirations are his. I need to find out what his are. The epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Colossians, chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Isn't that nice? since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love, watch this, which ye have to all the saints, not to some of the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye have also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, he says, now we get the intent of his letter. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye may be filled. Listen to what Paul's saying. Paul says, my desire is that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If I asked everybody in here individually to stand up and tell me what God's will is for your life for the next 5 days, 5 months, 5 years, could you do it? Paul's praying for that. With the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy. Finances fail because we don't have a plan. God's will for our life fails because we don't have a plan. That ye might, then he says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul isn't writing to them just in their secular occupations. Paul's writing to them in their spiritual duties. And it's a balance between the two. I have a secular obligation to the community I live in, but I also have a spiritual obligation to the church, the body of Christ, the pillar and ground of truth. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us, he's one of them, as Mike says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's why I was saying, Alicia and Michaela ain't up there to entertain us. They're up there to remind us of what we possess in Christ. And if you understand what we possess in Christ and all the benefits and inheritance that we have, then when we open up the book and he asks us of something to walk worthy in it, it isn't that the pastor's backing me into a corner. It's he's showing me in all wisdom how to walk worthy of the occupation he's given me as a Christian. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even he said, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, even this election. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, not just some things, all things, he should be involved in every aspect of my life, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Does he in your life? Does he have the preeminence in the position that you have at the church as a servant, as a deacon, as a Timothy man, as a Sunday school teacher, as a nursery worker? Is he preeminent? Do people see Christ in you? If Christ was taking your position, serving in your capacity, would it be the same as you? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, thank you, Lord, in the body of his flesh through death. Look what he did so we can have what we have. And then think about what we do so he can get the preeminence. It's imbalanced. Verse 23, to present you, he said, latter part of 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof, and Paul said this, this is what stuck out to me, whereof I, Paul, he says, am made a minister. The church didn't vote on me to be a minister. Mama didn't say it was okay. Daddy didn't encourage me. God made me a minister. Paul said that of him, and we've already covered the fact that we're all ministers, aren't we? We don't have to wear a clerical collar to be a minister. Because ministers minister to people who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. He said in verse 25, whereof I am made, he says it again, a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. He's reminding them of their responsibilities of walking in wisdom and worthy to walk in wisdom, as he's already stated. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is, watch this now, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I could back people into a corner and say, if Christ is in you, are you doing what Christ would do if he was here? Paul said this, whom we preach. And then he listed these, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. He uses that word wisdom, I think, 6 times in this book. That we may, Paul said, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Guess what? We'll forever, eternally be connected. You'll see me again, even if I pastor somewhere else. You know where you'll see me again? At the judgment seat of Christ. As I'm part of the presentation of my participation in your life, you say, oh my goodness. That we may present every man, watch this, perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto, he says, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. He says, I'm not only doing it for you. He says, I'm doing it myself. As Mike always says, pastor's in this with us. I want to read these first few verses of chapter 2 to hear more of Paul's heart. He says, for I would that you knew what great affliction I have for you and for them at Laodicea. My wife and I talk often at night, often about many of you. And I sit there as the pastor and the shepherd and I say, man, if they do this, I'm not afraid to say that there was people that their families could have been transformed if they would have just come to church. Just transformed. If they would have come and heard that and applied it. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom, there it is, word again, and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight, I plead already, as you have. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I've read this several times. What stood out to me, trying to find which direction to go, family, whatever, finances, whatever, or just start another series in Colossians. This specific passage stuck out to me. And Paul said, whom we preach. He said, I made a minister. Verse 28, he says, whom we preach. Warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man. I started doing my studies. I'm trying to shorten the introduction so I can just get right to the meat. It's a very simple message. I realized I used to preach simple years ago. I started looking up things, what I've already said. And I found the second message I ever preached here. March 10th. Was the Sunday after I took the church. And these, without changing nothing, are the words that I spoke. I want to reiterate them tonight. One of the greatest desires and goals I have as a preacher, the title would be, My Ministry as a Minister. One of the greatest desires and goals I have as a preacher is to be the best I can possibly be as one. As a preacher, I take my task the Lord has given me very serious. I understand the vast magnitude of it. It can be and has been very overwhelming at times. Some things I want to share in regards to being here that I want to keep forefront in my life are these. I've changed none of them. I want to continue to grow in grace. I want to see people saved and come to know the Lord. I want to see people come back to Him. I want to see families strengthened and restored. I want to be a shining light of realism to the community God has placed me in. What you see is what you get. And I want to continue to send and be part in reaching the world for Christ. Now, in regards to the text we have before us, Paul gives us a rather extensive intro to the church at Colossae, exalting the Lord. He then highlights his part in the bigger picture. He also tells us later on in this book that it ought to be read at the church at Laodicea as well. I don't know, I've said this to Alex, I don't know if Paul understood he was writing Scripture. As much as I believe he was trying to reveal the mystery that had been hidden for years, it's now on full display, and Paul, the lights have come on, and he says, I want to make sure everybody knows this. The reason for the last 2 and 3 days, not because I figured this thing out, that I've been the contrarian in a group of preachers, is because we've forgotten the mission. We've forgotten the mandate. It's just business as usual. And we try and hide the problems as much as possible instead of doing something to fix it so other people can be helped. If anything the election proved, it was giving us a space of grace to get our act together so that we can help somebody else. But I'm afraid we'll be 4 more years down the road, and there's some in here tonight, it is the same thing over and over and over again every family conference, with no intention to change it. If you will, he lists some self-imposed and scriptural-imposed expectations on himself, sharing them with the church. With that being said, I want to preach on this thought. My ministry is a minister. First, verse 28, it is the ministry of notification. It is the ministry of notification. He said, whom we preach, warning every man. The word warning means to put in mind. That is to caution or reprove gently. If you're in my family, and you've seen me even just hint to certain things tonight, I've reproved gently. Because there's some things that happen sometimes that just absolutely twist my neck in what should be just common practice out of Christians. But we get to a place where we just want it to be accepted by everybody else. And we miss the words that are said. Did anybody hear what Ms. Klostner said? Did anybody hear that? That doesn't happen by itself. That happens because, as I say to the Timothy guys, you have to set the temp. I said, Joe, when you go to Florida, I almost said Walmart. What in the world's Walmart? What's the town down there with a W where Pam is? Anyways, Weirsdale. That's what I was thinking, and I was saying Walmart. I said, Joe, when you go down there, don't be the temperature. Set the temperature. Set the temperature. Go into a room. Set the temperature. See what needs to be done. You're God's servant. You're God's in you. You have a hope. Be that. Go in there and see it. There's people that came the other night, and we're going to sit at our table, and we're not going to budge. We're not going to move our seat for anybody. We're not going to let them get in line in front of anybody. We're here. I'm a consumer. This is my church. I'm going to do this. The minister's job is a ministry of notification, warning every man. It means to reprove gently, to admonish, to warn, to call to attention. My responsibility as a preacher is to make notification. As I look throughout the scriptures, God's man was always in place to warn and notify God's people of danger. I pray my time here, you will allow me to make notification and warn of things that are snares and obstacles to walking with the Lord successfully. How many Timothy guys we got in here tonight? Raise your hand. How many times have I spoken privately about finances and said you got to get those finances in check before you go somewhere else? Your vehicle will look like the church vehicle. Your house will look like the church house. Your finances will look like the church finances. You know why? I'm not warning them to hurt them. I'm notifying them so they don't become another statistic with everybody else. I'm assured of this. Every year after the family conference, somebody gets their knickers in a wad because they can't be notified. It's my responsibility. It's a ministry of notification. Number two, verse 28b, it's a ministry of explanation and teaching every man in all wisdom. As profound as this may sound, the word teach, guess what teach means? Anyone want to take a guess? What is it? To teach. That's profound, isn't it? The pastor ought to be what the Bible says? Apt to teach. My biggest pet peeve, if I can use that term, since being saved and in church, has been the lack of teaching. I took it personal this week that many of our people don't know of finances. And don't raise your hand, raise your heart. Could you give your finances to God and He'd say you've been a good steward of them tonight? Could you with confidence say, God, here's my finances. I've been scripturally obedient as a steward. If you can't, guess what? It needs to be explained. And if mom and dad didn't do it, a Sherpa needs to do it. Or somebody needs to come beside you and help you do it. Why? So your life can give glory. See, we have put those on the back burner and we think as long as I don't wear a rainbow tie and dye my hair and transfigure my body and all those things, I'm doing okay in God's eyes. And we already seen Brother O'Malley said what? How many times did God speak about finances? It is just as much of a sin for your finances to be out of order as it is to be a sodomite. That needs to be explained. Having traveled for many years and been in and out of many churches, I'm appalled at the lack of preachers and Sunday school teachers that simply can't teach God's people anything. Too many today have resorted to books, studies, easy lesson plans, and simply will not dig into the Word of God and extract the diamonds of knowledge that are inside. The average church person today simply has no idea why we do what we do. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. While here, it is my ministry to explain. I believe I'm the most over-explaining pastor I've ever met. I try and make sure, even in just simple situations, this is why we do what we do over and over again. How did that come about? By studying the Word of God, because I didn't have somebody hand-feeding me. You have to have the desire to have things explained and to figure them out. Why? So somebody else can do that. Why do I apologize to my children? Because now I'm explaining things to my grandchildren that I didn't explain clearly to my children. While here, it is my ministry to explain the Word of God. However, it will be to no avail unless you allow me. Will you allow me the privilege and opportunity to teach while I'm here? Number three. Verse 28c, it is not only the ministry of notification, warning, the ministry of explanation, teaching, it is the ministry of presentation, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The word present means to stand beside, to exhibit, to proffer, to recommend, to aid, to assist, to bring before, to commend. One day I'll give an account of all that I've said, done, and taught in my ministry, and I will be part and parcel in people's lives in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it, watch this, with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There's a joy. There's a joy when you see these families get up here and sing, and the hours and the time that's invested, and you sit there and say, that was worth it. But then there's also those grief moments where somebody just keeps repeating the same thing over and over again, and just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And then they get little messenger groups. And then they say it's to encourage one another. And then it's not encouraging one another. It's just browbeating everything that's taught there. And running down Sunday school teachers and being jealous of people in the church. Because really what I want to do is I want to bring you down to where I'm at, instead of me getting closer to you and getting closer to God. And that takes place. The pastor don't miss none of it. And you know what it does? It halts us from going further, from getting farther. I watch people, and new people will come, and they'll corner them out in the parking lot. And they'll sit there, and they almost try and be better disciplers. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, don't we? I'm not the only one that should notice that. And there's a space of grace for me that they think I'm getting too old, that I don't notice it. It's a ministry of presentation. Brother O'Malley, people would ask him questions, and there was times I had to step in to interpret the question, because it's presented in such a way that it's not really what it's presented as. And then he's the naive guy, and he's thinking he's just trying to help. That's not how it's going to work at the judgment seat. I'm going to be sitting right there saying, yep, she's been told that 1,000 times. She don't listen to none of it. You say, man, you're being really hard tonight. No, it's just this same. And we need to get further. Our finances need to get in order. Our families need to get in order. Our Sherpas need to Sherpa. Just because we paid off the debt doesn't mean we're okay. Just because pastor kills himself to remodel every square inch of the church doesn't mean we're okay. Because pastor gets in a car accident tomorrow, what happens? I'm doing my part. Is somebody else doing their part? How much does it slide back to where it was? No, we sit here and say it ain't going back. Nehemiah only had one sword and one trowel. It was those men in the church had swords, they had trowels. Where's the men with swords in this church? Where's the trowels that'll build? That they don't have to be asked, they don't have to be begged. There's a presentation that's going to take place. I'm going to stand right beside her and say, yeah, I said it 1,000 times. Said it 1,000 times, God. And watch this, you say, man, you're off. I told Brother O'Malley the other day, I don't have a pastor. I don't have a father. I don't have any male figures in my life. I have a terrible childhood. But you know what I have? When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will lift me up. I have God. And I've walked close enough with God, and I sit there and I say, I don't want anybody else to experience that. So I'm going to carry their baggage until bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. A few verses later, it says, let a man bear his own burden. There ought to come a time when you bear your own burden. There's a notification, there's an explanation, there's a presentation. Do you understand the task of this preacher to be part in the presentation process? Will you allow me to play a part in the process of the ministry of presentation in yours and your family's life? Wasn't that beautiful? The dedication Sunday morning? I'm so just down to earth with my dedication. I sat there and I went, wow. You know what I appreciated about it? He made those on the platform give a vow. You know what else I appreciated about it? He made those on the pew give a vow. Let thy yeas be thy yeas, and thy nays be nays. I wasn't doing it for an example. Jake was killing himself Sunday morning with Kara and those kids. And it's like nobody else sees it. How many young people in here sit here and think, I'm doing this on my own some days in here? And we can't get people to come up and just sit there. Do you know how my back felt after I lugged that fat hog Samuel? And do you realize, I realize how hot it is? Miss Paula, if you want to be warm, sit right up there in that chair. Because the sweat was rolling off me. And all the pictures that were taken, you can't see me the way the pictures were. I was just in the shadows like the little maid. But you know how much that helped Jake? And I said to Jake while I was up there, I said, Julie. Julie need to be up there. You know what I was doing? I was sharpening Linda and Linda's at Saturday at the, Tina had 7 kids. I don't even know if she ever got up to get a plate. Linda identified she was packed and went over and took 2 of her kids. Pastor took 2 of her kids. That's sharpened. When Brother O'Malley said it takes a church to raise a family, it takes a church. And some of y'all don't have all those baggages you could carry somebody else's. It's called, the last one is a ministry of adaptation. Adaptation. Whereunto I also labor. Striving according to his working which worketh in me mightily. He says it's not just you. Listen, pastor's not just saying it. Why did I preface the sermon with me texting my kids? Did I text y'all? All 3 of them. And I'm constantly, I'm adapting myself. The word adaptation I chose to use is based off 2 words, labor and striving. The word adaptation means the act or process of adapting a composition that has been recast into a new form. The word here, labor, means by implication to work hard, to feel fatigue, to labor, to toil. The word striving means to struggle, to compete for a prize, to endeavor to accomplish something. Church and Christianity is about building somebody else. It's not about you. I could say 1,000 things and you're going to think I'm mad. I swear to goodness, if I don't say hi to some of y'all in here, you'll never talk to me. And I'm thinking to myself, how are they treating visitors? If they won't even talk to the pastor, if they won't call their pastor, if they won't set aside time in their life to meet the pastor's schedule, pastor's always meeting y'all's schedule. Meet my schedule. Work your way into my life. I work my way into yours. It's called adaptation. I'm adapting. Why? So that you can be the best you can possibly be. Watched a movie today, shortly. Ike. What was it called? 6 days before D-Day. And he had one of the most difficult, probably one of the greatest presidents when you look back on it. Probably why he became a president. And he had to make a decision about storming the beaches at Normandy and the cost of that and struggled over that. And before he made that decision, he met with those people individually and talked to them. Conversed with them. Where are you from? Had an intimate conversation with them. You know why? Because he was making decisions in their life that would affect their life forever. You'd be hard-pressed to find a pastor that says, intimate with people as I am. 3.5 hours in the room the other day. Hours and hours talking with some to no avail. If I'm going to adapt and I'm going to conform so that you can become something in Christ, don't you have a responsibility on the other side? And not only to me, you have it to somebody else. Did I go down and say thank you, ladies, the other day? 3.5 hours? Did you have anything that a 20 and a 22-year-old could have done on Saturday? Why did you do that? Just to serve the Lord. Do you know where they could be? And all it takes is just a little bump in the road of being underappreciated, underrecognized, and it don't matter. Can I tell you of how many people could be out there? I mean, every once in a while, it doesn't hurt to just grab a corner. You say, I'm grabbing a corner. Come talk to me, and I'll tell you if you're grabbing a corner. You be honest enough with me? These people that sang for the missions, for the family conference, these young people that play the piano, they need somebody else beside them. There's too many. I'm telling you what, I'm going to preach Father's Day messages till Jesus comes back here pretty soon. And I'm not being mean. I'm just pointing out the obvious. We have not arrived yet. There's a lot of things that we need. We need to put on our big boy boots and press on. There's families that you could invest in this church to help them. There's a thousand things you can do. And it's my responsibility to make sure it happens. I don't know the extent to the finances in this church. I don't know the extent to the family problems in this church. But it ain't gonna get itself fixed by just sitting here saying everything's okay. I came on Wednesday night to be encouraged. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to encourage you to find something to fight for. To find something to fight for, to sit here and say something matters, and I'm going to do it. And I prefaced it by saying your pastor walked out of here the other day crying. I saw tears in some of y'all's eyes, and here's what happens. And you know why my age group isn't here? Can I just tell you that? Can I just be honest with you and tell you why my age group isn't represented well in this church? Because when these kind of messages go out, I failed, and I can't fix it now. So I'm going to suck my thumb, and I'm going to sit in a ditch somewhere. And I'm going to get a messenger group, and I'm going to sit here and say he expects too much. I don't expect near as much as God does. And can I just say this? They don't expect it. They deserve it. They deserve it. My children deserve it. I can't give it to them, but I'll give it to my grandkids. And it don't just happen to my grandkids. Is there anybody that has kids in here that feel your kids are treated any different than my grandkids? Is there a padlock on my door that when somebody else's kids get to my office, they can't have candy? Elizabeth found out the pastor has grandkid candy. This candy's not good enough. She says, I want some of the, and knows the drawers that it's in. Joe Bean, what's your point? We got to do better. Pastor O'Malley identified things, and we got to do better. Why? So that we can be strong for the people that come in here. If we have a space of grace, there's going to be people that come in here. Have you connected with these people that are visiting? Or is it just Pastor Miss Libby connecting? Is it just the Timothy guys connecting? That was the point. He wrote those words to that Colossian church at Colossae to make it a stronger church for them to watch. Watch this. The wisdom, he says, I'm going to give you wisdom of walking worthy. The worthiness isn't in you. The worthiness is in him. It ought to be, Cody ought to be a reflection of what's been invested in him as a son. And we ought to be a reflection of what's been invested in us by people around us, by our pastor, and by the high priest of our souls, Jesus Christ. And it ought to show and reflect. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight, I plead. I hope it's heard the way it's said, Lord. My mission, my mandate has not changed since my second service here. And Lord, we've got so much further to go. We cannot settle on our lees. There's so many little things. If I don't notify, if I don't say, it goes right back to where it was before, because we're just the same kind of people as every other person is if we're not pushed. We don't mind our jobs pushing us, but when it comes to church, it's just a place of consumption. instead of contribution. God, please help us. Please help me. I made up my mind this week, Lord, I need to go farther. I need to get further. And if the 60s are supposed to be my most profitable years, then God, please help me. Because, Lord, I just don't believe they're profitable. Painting a wall and putting trim on a door is not as what I feel profitable as much as it is helping a family, notifying them, explaining to them, to present them, Lord, is so much more. Help me to be that person. Help me to not be afraid to say what needs to be said when it needs to be said. Faithful, you said, are the wounds of a friend. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So, Lord, please help us. Please help us to realize there's a mission to be done before your return. We love you tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for people like Brother O'Malley and Brother Whitfield and Brother Money that will pour into our lives. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Help us to realize the importance of ministry. I plead tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.